We'll be looking at Nehemiah chapter 4 this morning. Workers and soldiers for the Lord, facing trials in the work. Doing Christian work is harder than any work that you can ever imagine. It's full of volunteers. It's a work that the world doesn't agree with. Because you see, when you begin to start digging the foundations of people's hearts, people don't want to know. People don't want their hearts upturned. People don't want their hearts exposed. But you see, the only way we can become a Christian is for our hearts to be exposed before God and for us to be able to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And until that happens, it will not happen. And then when we become Christians, we become part of the church, then a work begins, and it's costly, and it's not always easy. Now when we read the Bible, it isn't long before we are confronted, as I said, with difficult teaching, and when some of what I read earlier on to the children, and if you read there in Luke chapter 6 verse 27, onwards, it talks about loving your enemies, being merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And it's not easy to love your enemies, is it? It's not easy to love those who despitefully use you. Often our neighbours and enemies are the same. And we've all known that, haven't we? And those we have are close to can often cause us more difficulty than those further away. Because in a sense, those that are further away, it doesn't matter. But it's those that are close up that often rub us up and cause us frustration. So what I want to do this morning is just look at a couple of problems that the children of Israel face as Sambalat and Tobiah, the enemies, they taunted them. And then in chapter 4, there is ridicule, there's intimidation, discouragement, and then finally we'll be looking at fear. The wall was being built, we read in chapter 3, and now we come to chapter 4, and I'll just read the first couple of verses, and you can see this. The minute you begin to start the work of Jesus Christ, the minute you begin to say, I've put my sword out, here we are, this is what we stand for, this is where we're going, you will have problems from the evil one. It says, but it so happened, when Sambalat the enemy heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews, and he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? The enemy didn't want it to happen. And you see, the devil, we're told there in Ephesians chapter 6 that we fight not against flesh and blood, which often is our issue, which shouldn't be. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities. The devil will do all that he can to bring us down as Christians. He will do all that he can to stop the glory of Christ being seen. The devil doesn't want the Church of Jesus Christ at Durbar Avenue to go forward. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want Holbrook to be blessed. He doesn't want Lower Ford Street to be blessed. He doesn't want Bethel to be blessed. He doesn't want these churches to be blessed. Station Street. He doesn't want Station Street West to be blessed. He wants it to close. Because you see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is there to tell people about their sin, and the devil wants us all to go to hell. And he doesn't want God to be glorified. So Sambalat was furious. Warren Wiersbe said this, opposition is not only an evidence that God is blessing, but it is also an opportunity for us to grow. When we have opportunity, It's an opportunity for us to grow. And I've given this illustration many times before. You have a plant, and you put it out, it's been in the greenhouse. There's no wind in the greenhouse, there's no frost in the greenhouse. It's a safe environment. And when you put plants out, maybe it's a courgette. It may look really strong and robust. But you put it out in the cold, and you put it out in the wind, it isn't long before it's lying on its side. So you just put it out a little bit at a time. And slowly, you can just see the plant moving backwards and forwards, and slowly getting stronger. And you see, as churches, when we face opposition, and when we go through difficulties, God will use it to mature us and to grow us. None of us want difficulties. I don't know about you, but I don't want difficulties. I loved a nice, easy life where I could have done all the things that I wanted to do. The times I go in the garage and I look at my motorbike and I just fancy going off and doing some of the roads of North Wales. And I haven't got time. It's not a picky story, that. But we haven't always got the time that we want to do things. Life can be difficult. None of us want difficulties. We all want an easy life. But you see, God's children shine the brightest because they lean on the Lord when troubles come, and it's when they lean on the Lord the hardest. You see, this is the thing. If we're not leaning upon the Lord, if we're not holding on to His promises, we will not shine. People will not see us for who we are. Spurgeon said this: God had one son without sin, but He never had a son without trials. God had one son, that's the Lord Jesus, who had no sin, but He never had a son without trials. If we are Christians, we will have trials. The minute, if you have the opportunity to read the book, The Holy War, it's by John Bunyan, and it's all about man's soul, and it's all about the fact that the devil wants to take over man's soul, and Christ takes it over, and there's a battle, a constant battle to bring that soul down. The devil doesn't want us to live the Christian life. I'm sure if you were to ask our dear sister Iris, that minute, that day she became a Christian, was an amazing moment. But in all the years of a Christian walk, there's been opposition, hasn't there, dear sister? The devil doesn't want us to shine for Christ, and he doesn't want us to have an easy life. Paul reminds the Corinthian church of that great enemy, and Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11: for we are not ignorant of his devices. We know exactly what he's about. We know exactly what he's up to. He just wants to bring us down. And it won't be in neon lights. You know, it won't be, "Hi, it's the devil here. I'm here to sort it out." The Bible says he will come as a wolf in sheep's clothing. He will come as someone disguised as a Christian. He will come as someone who is your friend. He will come and he will slowly chip away and take away the joy of the Lord. Now, we read in the verses 1 to 6 and have this subject of ridicule. And ridicule is a weapon that can cause the greatest and the strongest of us to give up. Ridicule, it disarms you so quickly. You can be having such a good day. You could have a business that is amazing, and you only have to have one person to ridicule you, and it can just affect all your feelings. And they were talking on Friday to the youngsters. Sam was asking about those, which is true. And I was always taught that sticks and stones will break my bones, but nails will never hurt me. That's what I was always taught. I was also taught at school that the pen is mightier than the sword. That was written first in 1839. Now, which is true? I asked you, which is true? The pen is mightier than the sword, or sticks and stones will break my bones, but nails will never hurt me. Do you believe the first one or the second one? Hands up. Who believes the first one, I said? The pen is mightier than the sword? Or who believes sticks and stones will break my bones, but nails will never hurt me? Which one?
I don't believe in that.
Don't believe in them, okay. Well, the thing is, the pen is mighty and it can bring nations down. The pen has caused many a war. The pen has caused many a defamation of character. Whereas sticks and stones may break the bones, but names will hurt us. I stand on the door of the church, and it's the one place that ministers dread. Because it's the one place where people can throw away comments. They can pull you down and down and down. I know many a minister who won't stand on the door, they sit in the vestry. Because they find it a place of great discouragement. Goliath! What did Goliath do before he even got his sword out? He ridiculed David, didn't he? He said, look at you, you're just a babe, you're just a little man. He ridiculed the people of Israel. He said, why have you sent a boy out to fight a mighty warrior? You see, Goliath hadn't counted on the fact that David stood in the might of the Lord, not in his own strength. Remember that great time, that terrible time there in Luke 22, where the soldiers mocked the Lord. There our blessed Saviour was mocked by the Lord. He was mocked by the rabble. They kept saying, if you were the Son of God, if you are the one, if you are, surely you will come down. He was on a mission. His mission was to save us from our sin. And yet they ridiculed him. Hebrews 11 verse 36 tells us, still others trial and mockings and scourgings and of chains and imprisonment. People were mocked and mocked down through the centuries, the millennia. The people of God have been mocked and ridiculed. Sanballat, we read in chapter 2 verse 19, it says, and when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of this, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? What? They were ridiculing them for starting the war, and two, they were making out that they were standing up against the king. But they weren't. So we there start by reading there in chapter 4 out of Sanballat. He gathered the army around the Jews. So he gathered a great army, and they stood in front of the Jews, and they began to taunt them. You feeble Jews! In other words, the word feeble there means withered. You are withered and you are nothing. You've got no hope. You will never, never grow. And even Tobiah said, what did he say? He said, listen, once you build that wall, even if a little fox walked on that wall, that will fall apart. It will not last. He goes on, doesn't he? He says, will they fortify themselves? Will it be strong enough? There in verse 2. Will they offer sacrifices? Will it even be moved by prayer? Listen, this is a waste of time, he says. Your prayers won't be answered. You won't be able to offer sacrifices. Will they finish in the day? He goes on to say. Will they complete it in a day? What he's saying is this: some of you will start and you will quit because you didn't realise how hard it would be. And you see, being in the Christian walk is hard because people will walk away. We're told there in the parable of the sower and the seed, four will start and three will go and one will be left. We think of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Who was there to see him? Who was there to stand by him? They'd all gone. All the strong men, the disciples were up for living for Christ. They'd all scattered. There was only John and a few ladies that were gathered to see the Son of Man on the cross. They even go on, don't they, to say, well, will they revive the stone from the heaps of rubbish? It's been burned down, it's been knocked down, there's nothing left. You won't be able to build a proper wall. There's not any good material left. How did Nehemiah respond? Just started the work. Well, he prayed and he asked God to fight the enemy for him. Question is this morning, do we know the power of prayer in our lives? Do we know do we have a relationship with God where we're able, when we go through the worst of times, are we able to come before the God of heaven and say, Lord, you hold all things in your hands. You are the one who rules the universe. You are the one who weighs the nations in the scales and they're like dust on the scales. You are the one who sits in the heavens and laughs. You are the one who uses the earth as your footstool. You are the one who controls all things. It's to you I come. Nehemiah gave it to the Lord and it stopped him from being distracted from the work, because there are some things that distract us. They distract us from the work and we cannot get on with it. There's nothing worse, is there, than working with someone who's constantly distracted. You know, you're trying to get a job done and it could be doing drinks. Say for example, you're doing drinks and you say, could you go and find out who wants coffee? And by the time they've come back, they've forgotten that they were out to ask for the coffee, and you've done the coffee anyway, and they've been distracted. And some people get distracted. I can get distracted at times, and it's hard not to. And when there are difficulties within the work of Christ, it's easy. It's so hard not to be distracted. I know an individual. They do a lot of walking. And when you walk, I've seen them walking, and they tell you how far they've walked, and you can imagine walking like this. But when I've stood and watched, they've been like this. They walk miles. And they're distracted by everything around. Now, in fact, they're putting on weight rather than losing it, because they're so just taking their time and they're relaxed. Because they're being distracted. And so easily we are distracted by the problems and the difficulties of life. Nehemiah didn't do that. He said, no, I will take it to the Lord and I will leave it at his feet and he will deal with the issues. How good are we at leaving it with the Lord? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard leaving your problems with the Lord. It's hard leaving your difficulties with the Lord. Have we learned through experience? And we should. And I read that passage this morning. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I behaved as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, he's saying, I matured in my Christian walk. I'm not a silly person anymore. I'm a person who has grown and matured in the things of God. I take it seriously. I take it seriously that maybe the person that lives next to our church is going to hell. And there will be no coming back. They are lost. That is serious. In fact, my brother and sister and my auntie and my uncle, they're going to hell. They're lost. There's no time to be silly. The Bible tells us that we are to be sober-minded. I'm not saying we can't laugh and joke and, you know, I like to. In fact, old Carol keeps sending jokes on email by the dozen. But I did see one yesterday that was very funny. I did, it made me laugh. There's nothing wrong in laughing. But not if it distracts you from the seriousness of gospel work. We are here to build the wall. We are here that Christ may be lifted high. Notice with me Nehemiah's prayer. As a servant of the Lord, he was concerned with God's glory. He says there in verse 4, "Hear, O our God, we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads, and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders." He takes you to the Lord. God's glory is at stake. He wasn't asking for personal requests. He wasn't asking for personal vengeance, but public vindication for God's people and for God. Sanballat and Tobiah have ridiculed God before the people, before the builders. The enemy's problem is always with God. You know, people's problem is not with me, as hopeless as I am at times. Their problem actually is with God. Because they don't want His word. They don't want the word to speak to them. They don't want the church to be as the church should be. A place where Christ can be found. They thought people want anything but the reality of God speaking into their hearts. And people will ridicule us. As Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem did. The children of Israel. Now time has gone, and next week we'll begin again, and we'll look at how they intimidated them. They intimidated them. They discouraged them. Discouragement is a terrible thing, isn't it? And how Nehemiah dealt with the fact that they became full of fear. We're going to turn to our final hymn before we come before the Lord's table. It's number 1054 in your book. 1054. The earth belongs to God, the world its wealth and all its people. He formed the waters wide and fashioned every sea shore. Who may go up the hill of the Lord and stand in the place of holiness? Well, we can't do that, but the Lord Jesus did it for us. 1054. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can be part of your work here at Durbar. And Lord, we pray that as we continue to look at this passage next week, to always be reminded of the fact that our God goes before us, that our God has a plan for us, that our God has said that when we humble ourselves, that when we come with true heart, he will hear us, and he will answer us. And Lord, we know there's a serious problem. People are lost. Oh Lord, bring us to that place where we can share with them the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. So Lord, encourage us now as we gather around your table. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.